from Vermont Public. This is The Frequency. I'm Henry Epp.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Thursday, September 22nd. Here are today's headlines.
Late last month, more than 8,000 Vermont households found out they would lose access to emergency rental assistance funds starting in December. But now, some of those low-income renters may get a temporary reprieve. The Scott administration says it's found an additional $20 million to extend the emergency rental assistance program. And while the money won't be enough to cover everyone, Deputy Secretary of Administration Douglas Farnham says it could allow the state to extend benefits for some of the neediest families through the winter.
So we do still need to ramp down, but we're really going to be open to ways and open to who do we protect the most? Where do we put this money?
Farnham says the administration will work with housing advocates to determine how to distribute the money. Administration officials say the federal funds that supported the program ran out sooner than expected.
A group of federal, state, and local law enforcement agencies is forming a task force to address shootings in Vermont's largest county. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Explosives said in a press release that the task force will get access to programs to help record and compare ballistic evidence from crime scenes. The task force will focus on Chittenden County. The formation of the group was driven by a rise in shootings in Burlington. According to Burlington Police, in 2022, there have been nearly two dozen gunfire incidents, including three fatal shootings, though overall violent offenses in the city have declined in the past decade, according to police data.
Vermont lawmakers on Wednesday delayed a vote on whether to increase financial incentives to a Brattleboro-based business that's considering an expansion in Vermont. The Joint Fiscal Committee says it'll revisit the issue at its November meeting. But Abby Sherman, head of the Vermont Economic Progress Council, says the business may be looking for assurances that the money will be available before then.
And in that case, there's a very strong possibility that they will just leave the state and go to a neighboring state.
Lawmakers say they need more information before they sign off on a motion that would make the company eligible for increased financial incentives for creating new jobs in Vermont. The motion would have made the business, which hasn't been publicly named, eligible for an additional $400,000 in cash incentives over the next 5 years.
COVID rates continue to be low in Vermont, according to state officials, but case numbers rose in the past week. In its weekly surveillance report, the health department documented 581 new cases. 39 more people have been admitted to a hospital with the virus, which is also an increase. And the state has changed how it's reporting outbreaks. After reporting 25 active outbreaks last week, the health department is now only reporting the number of new outbreaks over the course of the previous week. So between September 14th and September 20th, there were 14 new outbreaks, including 11 at schools and childcare centers.
Coming up, meeting the demand for local meat. More after this.
Thanks for tuning in to The Frequency, and thanks to Vita for their support. Vita, celebrating 50 years of helping Vermont businesses grow and thrive. From agriculture to energy, startups to established companies, find solutions that fit your business. Visit veda.org to start your next chapter.
The Agency of Agriculture, Food, and Markets made a historic investment this year in farming and forestry infrastructure. And thanks to the one-time influx of COVID relief money, more than $1 million went towards expanding Vermont's meat processing capabilities. Our colleague Howard Weiss-Tisman explains what the investment means for supporting slaughterhouse operations and what else needs to be done to meet Vermont's demand for local meat.
Hello.
Hey, Hassan. How are you? Good to see you.
It's early in the morning at Higley Hill Slaughterhouse in Wilmington, and a USDA food safety official just showed up to inspect the day's animals.
So we got one beef here and then still waiting on these sheep.
Nice.
That's one cow and two sheep, which according to Higley Hill manager Hogan Sennett, will keep the staff busy most of the day.
At 2,500 square feet, we're a very, very small facility.
Higley Hill is Vermont's newest USDA-inspected slaughterhouse. And while they're small, it does give Vermont farmers one more option in processing livestock for market. Higley Hill was open for a few years with a custom license, which means they processed animals for farmers, but the meat could not be sold. Sennett says since meeting the requirements of a USDA-inspected facility, which allows farmers to sell the processed meat commercially, he has all the business he can handle.
There's absolutely no question that once we've gone USDA, the phone has been ringing off the hook. We were able to, since we started operating under inspection, basically fill our 2022 calendar in a matter of months. So we're pretty much booked out for the remainder of this year.
Higley Hill got almost $75,000 from the latest round of Working Lands Enterprise Fund grants, a state program that was boosted this year from the federal COVID relief aid. The meat processing industry was one of the largest parts of the state's agricultural economy that benefited from the one-time federal aid. But Abby Willard, who's with the Agency of Agriculture, Food, and Markets, says there's still a long way to go.
The entire kind of sector has not seen the kind of infrastructure investment that is needed in a long time. And so there is a constraint on the growth of livestock operations and poultry in Vermont based upon the slaughter capacity that they can find in state.
A recent report found that Vermont should increase its slaughterhouse capacity by 25% in the next 8 years. The number of beef cattle and pigs in the state has more than doubled in the past 10 years as the hunger for local meat grew. But the number of people working in slaughterhouses, as well as modernization investments, have not kept pace, and Willard says it could cost $15 to $20 million to meet the need. The problem isn't just the state needs more slaughterhouses. Willard says slaughterhouses and processing facilities are running at less than full capacity due to a shortage of freezer space and outdated equipment. Willard says some of the federal money is being used to start a meat processing program at Vermont Technical College.
We continue to identify this as an infrastructure investment priority from the Vermont Agency of Agriculture's perspective and looking to, you know, state dollars to make investments ongoing and exploring other federal resources. So we haven't given up that this is, that we have not solved this problem. And I wouldn't say that this has been removed from our priority list yet. This still sits at and near the top.
Carl Cushing owns Vermont Livestock and Slaughter Processing Company in Ferrisburg, and his company got $100,000 from the Working Lands Fund. Cushing has been cutting meat in Vermont for more than 4 decades, and he's seen the demand for local meat increase even before the pandemic, when he says it really took off. He says the state grant will help move along a planned $5 million renovation at his facility.
We would be bigger. It's the building that restricts us, and that's why we're trying to rebuild and to be able to help more people. The need is out there, but we're in it to make a change. So we hope to double what we're doing now and possibly get to triple what we're doing.
The company is working out of a slaughterhouse that has been in operation since the 50s. Cushing bought the company about 15 years ago, and he says the young farmers he works with see a future for the Vermont livestock industry. He says he wants to do what he can to preserve the rich farmland in the Champlain Valley and the people who live there.
These people believe that they can expand their operations simply by being able to have a supply that they know they can get processed to put it into the marketplace. And a lot of folks are trying to utilize the good land that we have here and what that land produces. So they're providing a good quality product, and they can be proud of it. That's kind of where I'm at with I want to be able to help that.
Cushing says he hopes to start the renovation sometime this year and open up the new expanded space in 2023. For Vermont Public, I'm Howard Weiss-Tisman.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Liam Elder Connors, and Elodie Reed.
Our executive producer is Mark Davis, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Henry Epp. Talk to you tomorrow.
How are we supposed to fix what we don't talk about? Welcome to Homegoings, a Vermont Public podcast that encourages fearless conversations about art and race.
It's like an extended family, and especially around homegoing time.
Join us for Homegoings, wherever you get your podcasts. We're a proud member of the NPR network.